this stereotypical image of a homeless person is a destitute drunken man panhandling on urban streets. But according to a new report, America's Youngest Outcasts 2010, conducted by the National Center on Family Homelessness based in Needham, Massachusetts, more than 1.6 million children, 40% of them 6 years old and younger, have no place to call home, and 14,000 of them are homeless in Arkansas. Alan Basick is president and founder of the National Center on Family Homelessness, established in 1988. She's a clinical psychiatrist who, at the time, was tending to mentally ill individuals at homeless shelters.
At that time, families made up about 1% of the overall homeless population. And what got me involved was seeing young families with newborns and little children in shelters for individuals.
At one shelter, Alan Basick saw a newborn cradled in a cardboard box, and since has been an advocate for homeless children, eventually organizing the nonprofit National Center on Family Homelessness. Dr. Basick's also an associate professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School.
Sadly, our organization has paralleled the growth of the problem over these last 25 years. Now, homeless families constitute about a third of the overall homeless population, particularly with the number of housing foreclosures, the sustained rate of unemployment. The numbers of homeless families and children have really spiked. So in 2010, we've been able to document that one out of 45 children in America across a year are homeless. That's a huge number. It translates into about 1.62 million children.
And the data do not count children on the streets who've either been abandoned by families or are runaways. And we tend not to see homeless families in public because most family shelters remain open 24 hours a day, unlike those for individual men and women.
And part of the reason we wrote the report card was to try to make this problem more visible and to give these kids a voice.
Ellen Basick says the typical profile of a homeless child is deep distress.
On a day-to-day basis, homeless kids have more acute and chronic medical conditions. They are generally anxious, depressed, scared. Many of them are hungry. They are very stressed by their circumstances, by the new situation, by the lack of routine, by their loss of their own bed to sleep in, by the loss of their pets if they had pets, because you can't take pets to shelters, and very often by the breakup of families. Homelessness is associated very often with outplacement of kids, with kids ending up in foster care or kids ending up with relatives and friends.
Dr. Basick has studied American homelessness for many years in an effort to mitigate the crisis early on, examining trauma, violence, and mental illness among the homeless. She found that homeless families are often afflicted with post-traumatic stress disorder and struggle with domestic abuse, but not chronic mental illness or drug abuse, common among single homeless individuals. In the center's newly released comprehensive national report card on child homelessness, did not draw on shelter census, but rather examined four complex domains.
The first one was the number of kids, and we adjusted that for population size. And we used data from the McKinney-Vento Educational Act, which says that all school districts need to count the number of homeless kids in their schools. So that's a data set that's across all the states in the nation. Then we looked at child well-being, and we looked at various national data sets. We looked at four of them, and what we looked at for child well-being was health problems, hunger, and educational proficiency.
Meaning if they're progressing in school, homeless students are often physically exhausted from their day-to-day struggle to survive.
Now, what happens to the school-age kids is they have difficulty doing their homework. They have difficulty studying because shelters tend to be somewhat chaotic. There's no private space. Children are tired. Sometimes they don't know where their next meal is going to come from. If their parents are very stressed, which they undoubtedly are because they're at living at survival level at this point, the kids are going to be very stressed and frightened. And when they go to school, they're going to have a lot of difficulty paying attention and learning, which can account for some of the school failure rates that we see.
The report also took into account children enrolled in free and reduced lunch programs. The third domain looked at rates of unemployment and poverty, impact of benefits programs, and number of foreclosures, state by state.
And then the fourth domain was, what has the state done? What kind of policies do they have? What kind of planning have they done? Have they really looked at this problem within their state?
Each state was then assigned a composite rank.
And so the composite rank, Arkansas ranked 48th, which was close to the bottom.
Poverty-stricken southern states tend to have less public housing and social service resources for families.
Arkansas has not the highest, but they rank 30 for housing foreclosures. If you also take a look at the number of households paying more than 50% of their income for rent, 25% of households in Arkansas are what we call have worst-case housing needs. And it's generally considered that it's appropriate to pay about 30% of your income on rent. And you've got 25% of your households paying more than 50%, which is going to make them very vulnerable to becoming homeless. It means that they're really at the edge because they're not going to have disposable income to pay for basic necessities when they're paying that much for housing.
Dr. Basick also points to a lack of long-term planned intervention.
You have an active interagency council on homelessness, but you don't have a 10-year plan, which would be the beginning of trying to figure out strategically what you can do to support these kids, because you've got almost 14,000 children in 2010 who are homeless, and that's a lot of kids. And your numbers are also increasing, as they are across the nation.
But model prevention programming is emerging. For example, in Hennepin County, Minnesota, there is a commission comprised of formerly homeless individuals, business and civic leaders, human services agents, and affordable housing advocates who are all working together to quell the problem. The National Center on Family Homelessness also campaigns to end child homelessness state by state, beginning in places like Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, and New Mexico. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.